got somebody on the line now who knows a little bit about the Pittsburgh Pirates, and it's Dejan Kovacevic from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Dejan, how are you today?
What's up, guys?
Not much. Let me ask you this, and I read your column here in the Tribune Review this morning. I take a look at it, and you have not wavered, Dejan, from, I guess the first one you wrote was about a week and a half ago or so. You have been steadfast, Dejan, in your belief that the management team, and you've even drifted into saying owes the fan base something, if I'm not mistaken. They sort of owe it to the players, to the fan base, to some other people to make a move. And I think you made a very strong statement this morning in saying that. Why do you believe that, and what is the proper move, Dejan?
Well, actually, Colin, I've kind of de-emphasized the fan base aspect. To me, it's much more about what you were, the other point that you made there, which is that they owe it to Clint Hurdle and they owe it to the players who are there. The way it works in sports is when the team delivers, it's up to the front office to back them up. That's not unique to the Pirates. That's not something that would be done or should be done for PR purposes. That's something that should be done because the team has exceeded all expectations. Whether you or the front office or me or anybody else thinks that it's fluky, that it won't last or whatever, doesn't change the fact that you owe it to that group that's in there to do your very best to help them out. Now, you know, I've also made the point in there that you don't. I've been very consistent in this as well, Colin, as you know, that you don't send out your very top prospects. You don't send out a Jameson Taillon, a Luis Heredia, people like that. You still have to make sure that you're building, especially starting pitching, which is so expensive to get at the major league level. You have to make sure that you're keeping those pieces in the system and that you have a bunch of options because they're not going to all pan out. But should they go out and get something done? Yes, absolutely.
Let me ask you this, is along the lines of what you were saying, Dejan. Is Tony Sanchez still in that group of untouchables, if you would?
Well, the Pirates will claim that there are no untouchables.
We know that's not the case.
Yeah, that's not the case. That at the same time, I think it would take something completely preposterous to get a Jameson Taillon or whatever, that level of prospect. Tony Sanchez, I mean, he's considered in the elite group of Pirates prospects. And for those who don't know, he's a catcher who's very, very good defensively and has occasionally hit the ball well and hasn't really driven it this much or that much this year in Altoona. It's starting to come around a little bit. No, I don't necessarily wouldn't put him in a class with that. Starling Marte might be a guy that some other teams would see is in that class because of his five-tool potential as a center fielder, a dynamic defender. But I don't know that the Pirates would, I really don't think this is going to come down to that anyway, guys. I don't know that you're going to see some great, big, gigantic home run type trade. But the point that I was making whenever I cut out there is that look at Lyle Overbay. Look at Matt Diaz. Look at what you're getting out of Garrett Jones. Look at first base and right field combined having five RBIs since the All-Star break. Five RBIs since the All-Star break out of the two positions that at PNC Park have to be your most powerful and most productive offensively, okay? Don't tell me that the Pirates can't upgrade on that. It's irrational. It's irrational to think that. Just because you don't get Carlos Beltran because he doesn't want to come here, just because the Astros want the moon for Hunter Pence, doesn't mean you can't upgrade on Overbay and Diaz and Jones. That to me is the bigger issue than whether or not they get some name that's going to excite the public. They could get somebody that nobody here really has ever heard of, who's an American League guy or whatever, who just hits 260, 270 or whatever, but would be a significant upgrade over what they currently have. That's the idea, in my eyes, is to upgrade your weakest positions and do it with an aim at 2011. That's why, I brought up Carlos Pena in the column today. I don't have a problem with that. You're giving up nothing but money in that situation. You're getting some power. You're getting production. For people who don't know, the guy is an outstanding defensive first baseman.
Now, if that takes place, Domic comes back, would you put him in right field? Would that make sense so you can keep McHenry? Would you rather him in right field as opposed to first base then?
No, Domit's got to be behind the plate, and he will be. I mean, you need his bat in the lineup, and I love what Mike McHenry has done, and he's going to be somebody that we write folk tales about for years in the Adam Hyde, Duke Kevin Polkovich mold. I think he's done a terrific job behind the plate, and he's certainly provided more offense than anybody expected over the past week. But Ryan Domit has to go behind the plate. Have him and McHenry split those duties. And work from there. I wouldn't be moving other people around. They need to find themselves a bat for first base, and from there they can shuffle other people around. Alex Presley to me is the right fielder when Jose Tabata comes back.
We're talking to the Tribs, Dejan Kovacevic, here on the Rivertown Hotline on Seibel, Starkey, and Miller. And let me ask you this, Dejan, because as you know, things are made private to the player before they're made public most of the time. Did it not shock you, but were you taken aback a little bit of what Clint Hurdle said about Lyle Overbay today, and that meant that he probably told Lyle Overbay in the last few days that he better get it in gear soon or he was going to find himself on the bench? And how real is that, and how close is that to happening, do you think?
Well, that's not a first. I was covering the Pirates in Cleveland a month ago, and I watched Lyle Overbay go into Hurdle's office and come out 45 minutes later with a kind of a stunned look, and he went and got a bat, walked down the hallway at Progressive Field and took about a half hour of unsolicited batting practice. So I don't think there's any doubt that Hurdle thinks he can get more out of Overbay, not just in terms of production, but also in terms of effort. And we saw him get yanked once this year already on the field. For not going down to scoop a throw across the infield. I'm really getting to the point where I'm mortified that he still goes out there. It doesn't make sense. He doesn't fit in with the rest of the team. He doesn't fit in with their attitude. They need to make a move here. And if that means even something as simple as calling up Matt Hague from AAA, Matt Hague is a prospect, for those who don't know, first baseman, right-handed, power-hitting guy, good on-base skills, short, compact swing, doesn't strike out very much, not a very good defender, but he's 26 years old. He's not a child.
Well, and that goes along the lines of this question real quick, Dejan. You look at first base, and that's something that definitely needs upgrade. If you're talking about an upgrade, and you talk about the men who are going to make this decision, right? Clint Hurdle, Frank Coonley, Neil Huntington, Bob Nutting, in a sense. Who has the juice in that room or on that conference call when everybody sits down to make that decision? Who is pulling the strings, maybe in a percentage basis?
I'd say on a very large percentage, it's Neil Huntington. They do let him run the baseball team. To the extent that Bob Nutting participates, he's already done that. He's told them, you have money. And that's the reason that, as I reported a couple days ago in the Trib, the Pirates were willing to pick up all of Carlos Beltran's remaining $6.5 million for the rest of this year. That's the reason they've asked about guys like Carlos Pena, players who would be expensive additions. That's the extent you're going to get from the owner and realistically from the team president. The rest is up to the GM. The GM knows what he needs to do, and he's got to find a way to get it done within what's a pretty tough set of circumstances, I think.
Dejan, real quick, as you move forward, as this series is upon us, can the Pirates go into Philadelphia and win 2-3? Can they, and does it change the way, in the first two games, the way they perform, does it change what they do on Sunday in the morning before the deadline?
Well, they took 2 out of 3 from the Phillies when they were here, right?
Right, no, I understand that. It was a different set of circumstances.
It was pretty much home field advantage for the Phillies, if you'll recall, even in this ballpark, so. Essentially, if you take away the umpire's call, they might have continued playing indefinitely the other night and won that. That would have been 3 out of 4 in Atlanta. So, I've learned this year not to rule out the possibility that the Pirates can do anything. But I think it's incumbent on management to recognize that offensively, it's going to be very, very difficult to sustain with the lineup they have. They need to go out and get some help.
That's Dejan Kovacevic. I'm Colin Dunlap. He's Josh Miller.